This is the Real Magic Podcast. Learn about great design and use it to get great results. Now your hosts, Greg Merrilees and Alan Nunez.
Hello, listener, and thank you for joining Al and I today for the Real Magic Design Podcast, where we try to unpack our experience to help designers and business owners understand how we create amazing designs and work together to make design that is profitable. I'm Greg from Studio One Design, and here's my partner as always, Alan from Pixel Partners HQ. How are you, man?
I'm good, Greg. How are you doing today, mate?
Really good, buddy. Really good.
Mate, today on our podcast, we have got the topic of how to run a successful design business. Now, I am going to put a little footnote there straight away before we get into it. This is a massive topic. So today we're just going to skim the surface, and we're going to try and share the things that you and I do to make our businesses successful.
Sounds like a plan.
So, Greg, before we get into the topic, mate, what have you been up to this week?
Well, just briefly, it's been school holidays here at the moment in Australia. So just, you know, because I've got a mobile business now, you know, I work remotely. I just set up, went down to visit some family a few hours drive away and set up shop there and just worked a little bit, you know, remotely, which was fantastic that I can do that now. What about you, Al?
Mate, isn't it an awesome world that we can do work from anywhere today?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I've been busy, man. I've got a few really big projects on the go with lots of small components. And to be honest, it's just really made me appreciate my team and the checklists and systems that we've built. Because even though we've been busy and we have a lot of work on, it hasn't been too bad. I mean, my rescue time came in this week and I was still, you know, under 35 hours a week, which is really nice of computer time. Now, there's a little bit more
that's
on
awesome.
The phone. Yeah, it's good. But, you know, school holidays, mate. I took the kids to the Australian Maritime Museum in Sydney and had a great time there. I was really blown away. The whole experience was just amazingly designed. I mean, from their exhibits to the way the maps and brochures were designed, and everything was to try and get you to sign up for an annual pass. And what they do is they take your money when you walk in, and then they, all the way through at every little exhibit, they say, oh, you know, you can experience more of this if you get an annual pass, which was really interesting. Funnily enough, we did sign up for an annual pass. So, mate, that worked.
Isn't it funny how no matter where you go, you're always looking at the design?
Oh, I can't help it. You know, like I picked up the map and went, oh, that's great, because it was a school holiday themed map, so it was designed towards kids, and my kids engaged with it, you know, 100%. So
was it interactive?
Yes, there was a show on. There's a lot of things, you know, they can push buttons and turn dials. I mean, it's the thing is, you don't expect that quality of design out of a museum. Well, I don't.
Yeah, no. So it was really an experience that they created.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the apple is what I'm trying to allude to. You know, it's more than, it's like they put extra effort into everyone having an experience that's, you know, memorable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through design, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what, the only thing that let us down was the cafe that was there, which I think is run by contractors because they weren't part of that experience, you know.
There you go.
So you've got to be careful with your design and make sure everything comes together nicely. Greg, let's talk about our topic this week, you know, how to run a successful design business.
Well, for starters, I guess the first question is, you know, what makes a design business successful? And I would like to think that you and I are both, you know, highly qualified to answer that because, you know, we've both been running our design businesses for, you know, 15 years for me. I think 20 or so for you is about 20 years.
Yeah, mate, it's I'm showing my age now. It's getting on. Look, you hang on. I want to say I'm more on the business side. You know, and yes, we're talking about design businesses, but I think there's some learnings from every type of business because I've had design and photographic businesses over the years. So yes, I think we're qualified. But, you know, the question is, what makes us, you know, what makes the business successful?
Sure. So, well, for me, the reason I've been running a successful business for so long is because I've been willing to shift and pivot depending on, you know, if there's a new opportunity, if business is not going well. So, I mean, to give you an example, like up until 5 years ago, we only designed T-shirts and everything related to fashion graphics. And we were supplying design to the wholesale industry. And as they shrunk and got squeezed out by the retailers, we shifted to websites over the last 5 years. And if we didn't do that, we probably wouldn't be in business today.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've been willing to pivot, but also, too, you've been looking out for new and exciting commercially viable products.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I was looking for lucrative, new, we're always looking for lucrative niches, and you know, the website game is certainly that if you're positioned well. So that's what we've moved towards.
Yeah, I find that really funny because so many designers have moved to web that there's actually, I'm finding this little vacuum in print. You know, there's a lot of people that still need the traditional media, and everybody's pushing web, web, web. I mean, I do a few networking events and there's lots of web designers there, and there's definitely other graphic designers, but it's a smaller portion compared to web. Look, I think for me, right, what makes my business successful, and look, there are different levels of success. I mean, I'm certainly not turning over the most amount of dollars in my industry. Success for me is that I'm happy, I get to spend time with my family. But for me, it's about profit, you know. I mean, I know that sounds a bit cold and heartless, but there are businesses out there that turn over lots of dollars but don't make any profit, right? For me, I want to work and see a return on the time that my team have invested, you know, and that has to be over and above paying all the bills and paying all the wages.
Well, you need to make a profit so you can keep providing value.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard to provide value if you don't make a profit, but you can provide value and not make a profit. And you know, like I said, I've experienced over the years so many businesses that are turning over really good dollars, but when you really dig down into it, the owner of the business is only drawing a very tiny salary, you know, and they're not actually making a profit over and above that that would make that business valuable to somebody else to buy.
Yeah, understood. But you still need to make profit, you know, otherwise you're going to go out of business pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, but hang on a minute, profit as opposed to the owner just taking some money out of the business as an income. So when I talk about profit, is when everybody's paid, including the owner, is there money left over, right? And I see it over and over again, particularly in design businesses, is, you know, they're turning over good dollars, but when you actually look at all the outgoings, including the owner's salary, there isn't much left over and above that.
Yeah, I take your point for sure. It depends how you measure profit, whether you include the owner's salary or not.
Well, you should, because if you're trying to sell your business down the track and you haven't included the owner's salary, they actually factor that in if the owner is operating in the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I fully get that.
So what else? What else do you think attributes to your success?
Well, I think it's our team. You know, we've got a pretty good team that we've built over the years. And it's a team of, you know, mainly designers. And we also have, you know, a bookkeeper, you know, project manager, design manager, etc. And I think over time, you know, it's just the hardest thing in design business is building that team and getting people that are reliable and dedicated and awesome. So, you know, I think that's what we've got now. And, you know, we just work as a team and we work well as a team.
Yeah, that's killer, Grant. I mean, when you've got a team that works well together, you're essentially, you have a company culture. So when you bring somebody new in, they will be drawn along with the team in the right direction. You know, for me, I think I've always looked for company culture, make sure we have the right people, and make sure everybody's rowing in the same direction, because it makes work really, really difficult if everybody's not on the same playing field. Look, we have a little internal philosophy. Actually, it's internal and external to try and help with that company culture, which is called We Are Here to Help. Right. So from a company's point of view, we'll go out into the communities. Right. And this is something I think is very important to the success of my business is, you know, engaging with the local community, charities, other businesses and peers. So we go out there, we support things like small design publications, schools, orphanages, and that's very fulfilling, right? And it makes us as a company feel good. It also makes my team feel great because they're all out there to help. But then we bring that internal as well. So we have the philosophy where anybody in our business can put their hand up and say, I need help. You know, I need help with my work. You know, I feel like I'm overloaded. I don't think I can achieve the best quality for my clients, please. And everybody will just rally behind that person. I mean, we've had people who've had, you know, unfortunate family problems, you know, health issues. And the whole team just rallies together because it's part of our company culture that we will help that person get through that time. But the most important thing is that everybody on the team jumps out of their seat when somebody needs help.
Yeah, nice. And I find as you build your team, you know, as the business owner, you really need to let the team take over. And that's one of the hardest shifts that I think most people, most designers have is, you know, changing from being a designer to being a business owner, where you've got to put down, you know, the Wacom pen or whatever tool you use and step back and let others take care of that while you concentrate on, you know, the more important things of, you know, marketing and strategies for growth.
Yeah, it's really hard to step away from being the technician and become the business owner, you know. And just because you're the business owner doesn't mean you don't have to do the things you love. You know, I still love getting into Photoshop and, you know, creating beautiful images, right? But it's not what I do every day as my role as the business owner, you know. There are a couple of great books relating to that, Greg, which is Built to Sell and The E-Myth. So, you know, they're available as e-books on Amazon, and they're also available as audiobooks. So I'd highly recommend the listeners grab that and grab those books and either read them or listen to them.
Yeah, nice tips. I've read Built to Sell, and I think that is, yeah, absolutely fantastic. And it really gives you clarity on, you know, if you're building your business, you know, just to get busy, or if you're building it to sell down the track. And, you know, it's a huge difference in your mindset, the way you approach it. So, yeah, highly recommend it too.
Yeah, I guess it's the difference between building a business or buying a job.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yep. You got it, man. Now, I mean, another couple of quick tips here. You know, always listen to your clients, find out what they want. I mean, because their needs change over time, like all of ours do. So keep an eye on the changes, you know, in what your clients want and your industry too. There's always technology changes as well. So, you know, just keep your ear to the ground. And even if there's market leaders in your industry, subscribe to their blogs and just keep your finger on the pulse and stay up to date with, you know, what's happening in your industry.
Yeah, look, I'm going to bring up a point that we've discussed on a previous podcast, which is, you know, yes, listen to what your clients want, right? But you as a professional need to know what that client actually needs. And by doing what you said, which is keeping close to what's happening in the market, you can deliver what they need. They may, I mean, they're not going to be following what's trendy in design. They're not necessarily going to be following the new technologies. So it's your responsibility as the professional to give them what they need.
Yeah, nice. Cool, man. Well, look, should we move on to the next topic?
There's one last thing I want to bring up, right? Which is, as a business owner in design, you have to be willing to learn constantly, right? I mean, this is not something that you learn how to do once and never do it again. You know, we use a variety of training resources, and we actually get our team to have a minimum of an hour a week and more if they can fit it in, where they've got to do some kind of personal development, and not just on and around design, but and often it is around design, and it is, you know, what's new in the Adobe suite or in web design and things like that, but just anything that can help improve their workflow. Do you do anything like that with your designers?
We do use lynda.com, lynda.com.
Yeah, we have Lynda, and we have Lynda, and we also, you know, use the Adobe training, and there are some awesome blogs out there, like you said, you know, the market leaders who are sharing their knowledge. Okay, Greg, so this is what we think makes our businesses successful, right? So, and that's all good and fine. You know, often people will look at other successful people and try and model what they're doing, right? But when you're starting a business, it's very different to when you're running an established business 5, 10, 15 years down the track. So, you know, in your opinion, what's the difference between somebody who has to maintain an established design business and grow that, or start from scratch?
Sure. So when you're starting from scratch, you don't have a reputation, you're not really, you know, a market leader. And so your positioning may not be the best. So, you know, you might not have testimonials or case studies. So really, to me, if you don't have all that stuff, you might want to just look at your pricing from the point of view that you want to get business. And I know you'll you know.
You're waiting for me to shoot you down, aren't you?
Exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, I really think if you want business, you have to look at your pricing competitively. And look at the fact that, you know, you're not in demand yet. So what's your opinion on that, Al?
Okay. Look, I'm not going to shoot you down completely, but what I am going to say is don't undervalue what you do just because you're new, right? And, yeah, I get what you're saying, Greg. You know, you're not in demand, but there's plenty of work out there at all levels. So make sure you're priced correctly. Make sure you don't undervalue what you do because it's very hard to go up. You know, it's much harder to bring your price up over time.
I disagree, man. I disagree. Like, when you put your prices up, do you let your clients know?
Yeah. Why?
I don't. You know, it's just they just go up and that's it.
Well, look, I mean, you're right. Okay, it's not extremely difficult, but I think a lot of business owners struggle going up in the price, right? Because they're worried they're going to lose that client. Okay,
and I think it's a mindset.
Yeah, and it's all right when you're established and you can afford. You know, if you put your price up and that client leaves, somebody else will come in and fill that void, right? But when you're in startup, you really need those clients, right? So if you start too low, you can be doing an awful lot of work for very little profit. And essentially just be on a treadmill because you're not going anywhere. You don't have time to invest in your business, right, because you're working these jobs that have got such low margin.
Yeah, which comes to supply and demand. So at that point, I'm just talking at the very start, if you're a new designer that's starting out, I just think you can't go in too expensive because you probably won't get the business.
Well, yes.
You know, unless you've got something to prove,
but I mean,
why you're so expensive.
If you're a good designer and you're new, you're still a good designer.
Agreed, yeah, absolutely. At least you have your folio to lie on, for sure.
And you don't have, you know, I'm a newbie tattooed on your forehead. So as long as you present yourself professionally, and I think in a moment, let's talk about some of the things that we do as far as tools and things that we actually implement in our business. But if a startup was to implement even half of those, they would present themselves just as professionally as you and I.
Absolutely. The only thing that they won't have is the social proof yet.
Yeah.
The case studies.
Yeah, but there's – okay, so case studies, right? So you can use arm length case studies, okay? So you don't have – yes, you want to build your own, right? And you certainly don't want to make up any. You don't want to make up testimonials and that's just, you know, dodgy. But you can use case studies of what other businesses are doing. So, you know, we did a lot of work with Fuji Xerox a few years back with XMPie. Right, which is a variable data printing application, a plugin that goes into InDesign. And it allows you to produce personalized URLs that match up to printed materials for completely personalized printing and then graphical personalized printing. So, you know, if it's going to a female, the image is going to be pink. If the image is going, if it's going to a male, it would be blue. You know, you could have different cars on their different mobile phones. Now, when we started doing that, we had not printed one XMPie job, right? But there were plenty of case studies of XMPie work that were fantastic.
Sure.
So, I get what you're saying, and sometimes for portfolio work, you might go in a little lower because you really want that job in that industry, but don't devalue what you do. If you're a good designer, just because you're starting up doesn't mean you have to be cheap.
Agreed. As long as you know, over time, you just keep adjusting your prices to suit the demand.
I think so.
Cool, man. Alrighty. So another thing that you and I both do is, you know, to grow our business faster is we both have a mentor. And you know, if you can't afford a mentor, that's totally fine. But it should be something that you aim towards. And as an alternative, you can join a community, you know, of other designers and business owners to learn from them.
Yeah, there's mentoring on so many different levels. I mean, you and I choose to pay a professional mentor, right? But not everybody has that option. But I'm definitely going to one plus that. You can also join a mastermind group, you know, where there's a number of business owners who come together to support each other, or a greater community like a design meetup or an online forum. And there's a lot of people in those forums that will happily help you out when you've got a question. And that's a form of mentoring. At the end of the day, we don't know what we don't know. So, you know, go out and find somebody who does know that information. It's a lot quicker and a lot easier and a lot less painful.
Yeah, absolutely. You will get there quicker, that's for sure.
Look, I think also too, you know, you need to learn from non-design related businesses. You know, a lot of people model from only within their industry, and that's, you know, a little bit of inbreeding. Just because somebody is doing something in design, or everybody's doing something in design, doesn't mean that that's necessarily the right way to do it. You know, try new things. See what you can discover from what other people are doing. You know, so an example is in my industry with Pixel Partners, nobody shares the source files, right? So if you're a freelancer, you try and hold on to that IP, which is your work, and you just give the finished files to the client, right? Whereas we share the lot, and that's a little different, you know? So we make it, you know, that's our little way of saying, well, okay, everybody else is not doing this, but we're willing to do it. We can see a benefit in it. Now, our clients do like it. I think the last thing that I've got to is go into this business wanting to build a business, wanting to be the business owner, and having that mindset, be willing to spend money or invest in your marketing, right, in your brand. It's an asset to you, right? So if you don't invest in this stuff, you're going to get a few years down the track, you will have turned over some dollars, but your business is not an asset that has any value. If you walk away from it, it's just going to crumble. Right. And also, particularly for designers, right? We design a lot of our own marketing, right? Greg, you design your own marketing, correct?
Yeah, we do, man. Yeah, absolutely.
And so do we. But we assign a value to it, right? So we actually log hours that we're putting into that, so we know how much it's costing us to produce that marketing, and we assign it at the retail value as if we were charging it out.
Yeah. And do you set a certain percentage of your turnover to marketing?
No, I don't set a percentage as such, particularly at this stage in our business where we're having a big push on marketing. We're assigning budgets and we're looking for a return on that budget, all right?
Yep.
And we're happy to ramp that up to whatever level as long as we're getting a return.
Sure. And so when you say assign a value, so this is the time it's taken for them to create all of the marketing material?
Yeah, absolutely. Correct? I mean,
yeah, cool.
People will go to networking events, right? And they might go to a business breakfast once a month. Now, it takes you half an hour to drive there, half an hour to drive back, 2 hours at the event, and then an hour following up the people you met at the event. So that's 4 hours worth of work.
I think we need to do an entire podcast on how to market your design business, because there's so many channels these days.
Yeah, look, I think it's not just how to market. How do you set a budget? How do you know if you're getting a return? You know, like I see people go to networking events and pick up, you know, a business card design job. But then I think, well, the 4 hours you spent at the networking event, the business card isn't paying for that. You know, you need to know that you're getting a return. So look, as long as you're willing to invest, there's plenty of books out there that can advise you on how to market your business. Again, get a mentor, get into a mastermind and learn from other people.
But still, there are a lot of ways. So, you know, we should dedicate an entire podcast to it.
I think we might have to do two.
Two, yeah, you got it.
Well, even this topic, I mean, we're only skimming across the top of this stuff. I mean, we can really drill down into a lot of these. So.
We can. Well, listener, why don't you let us know in the comments section on our website at therealmagic.com, and just let us know, you know, what topics you want us to dive deeper into.
Yes, please. Look, this podcast is there for you. At the moment, we're just starting up, so we're coming up with things that we're passionate about, but please give us feedback and ideas. It'll help us build the list of future podcasts.
All right, Al, so this leads into the final question for today's topic. So what tools and services are needed to run a successful design business today?
Look, I love how you've tagged today on the end of that question, Greg, because this changes, right? Now, I've got a little short list here, right? And these are just some of the, we'll call them tools of the trade that we use. And, you know, if you put a tick next to each one of these, you'll be, you know, well and truly on your way. Obviously, you need to learn how to use them. But here's my top tech tips, right? So firstly, Google Apps for Business. That's a must, right? I mean, you can opt for other hosted systems, but Google Apps just works. It's cost effective. You pay by month. You can, you know, it's just got so much power. You use Google Apps, don't you, Greg?
Yeah, indeed, man. Yep, yeah. Absolutely. I think we're going to reveal that we use very similar tools and tips.
Yeah, funny that, isn't it? Right, here's my next tip. Get your own domain, right? Please do not send emails from @Hotmail, @Gmail, @Yahoo, right? Get your own domain. It does not cost a lot. Try and get a top-level domain, if at all possible, if it isn't already taken, and integrate that with your email account so that people are seeing a professional email address. Dropbox, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I think I've got maybe 2 terabytes on Dropbox.
So why do you use Dropbox instead of Google Apps for file storage?
Well, to be honest, because Dropbox was there before Google Apps, and we're well established in Dropbox right now. And that may change in the future, but at the moment it's cost effective for us. We have never had a problem with Dropbox, you know, so, and their service is fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Google Apps is cheaper as well. If you're starting out, I'd probably look seriously at Google Apps. But yeah, I do love the service that Dropbox offers. It's just seamless. So yeah, we use it as well, mainly for the same reasons, because we have quite a large storage.
Yeah.
So
And look, I mean, Dropbox, we've got a team account, so it allows you to, you know, administer the logins easily. And again, I don't know if Google Apps. Exactly how that works, because we don't use it, and I have heard it's fantastic. But this is my list. This is my list of what I use. So,
yeah, sure.
Listener, go out and have a look. There are alternatives for all of this stuff. Evernote. We use Evernote for checklists and for just taking general job notes when we need to scratch out some ideas. Evernote's awesome for checklists. You can set up some templates, right, and you just copy the checklist, and you can actually have a little tick box next to it, and you can run it every single time over and over, and you date it and save it, and then you know that you've ticked off all the boxes for that particular job.
Nice tip.
Yeah, licensed software, right? You know, this is going to be a touchy one, and I don't want to get anybody into trouble, but I'm sure there are people who are starting up who use pirated software. Now, often it's because in the old days, the Adobe suite used to cost thousands to buy outright, and then it was very expensive to keep maintained and upgraded. So a startup didn't necessarily have the few thousand dollars that it was required to buy the initial licenses, so they might, find alternatives. But today it's cheap. You know, you can get it on subscription. And the joy of having licensed software is you get support and you get all the new facilities, all the new
updates.
Thank you. Updates, Greg. I got stuck on that one. Get licensed software. It will make a massive difference. I mean, even Adobe, we talked about training before, but as a licensed user, we get access to all their training and the guys love it. You know, there's always really great media information in that, and it's not a lot to pay per month today. And you're paying it per month, you know. So it's not like you've got to outlay the thousands, but you're paying it each and every month. Good internet, phone, Skype are no-brainers, right? You know, if you can pay an extra $20 or $30 a month and get better internet, just pay the money. It is worth it. It'll save you time and money and energy. And lastly, a project management tool and a help desk tool to manage the workflow. I use Teamwork for my project management tool and Help Scout for my help desk. Greg, what do you use?
We use Zendesk, and we also just use a collaborated email as well, which is linked to the same Zendesk email address.
Nice.
So then our designers or our project manager can use either to reply to clients. But yeah, you need to separate it from your normal email account, that's for sure. It just makes the world of difference. So, you know, that's something we only implemented in the last year or so. And it's really freed up my inbox.
Yeah, and it also has multiple people looking at it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, nothing gets missed, which is absolutely essential when you're growing. You've got to keep the clients happy.
Yeah, and look, also too, you know, having things like a project management tool allows you to go back really easily and review the job at the end and see if there's things you can improve on, create checklists from things that you've already done, whereas a trail of emails can get really messy.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so that was my sort of list of tech tips. I've got a few other things that I use, but what about you? Do you have any cool applications?
Yeah, we use pretty much the same as you guys. I might just say that with Skype, we use Skype Call Recorder, and, you know, we'll ask the clients if it's okay to record some of the conversations so that we can then pass those conversations on to the team.
Oh, that's killer.
Yeah, which is so helpful. It saves me trying to relay notes and messages and whatever, so that's really handy. Similar to you, we use Dropbox and Google Docs, etc. And now a really good one, because we're doing websites, and you can use this with any type of design. If you send a client a design, we also send them that design in what's called bounceapp.com, and there they can write their notes of changes that they want to see on the design back onto the design and send it back to you.
We've got a couple of those. We've got Concept Board and Red Pen, similar idea. Very, very handy tools.
Nice. Are they free?
Yes and no.
Yep.
Okay. So I think they've all got a freemium version.
Yeah.
I think I've got an account for Concept Board. Concept Board's cool. You can it's basically just a big drafting table, and you can put as much as you want on it. You can sketch up notes. You can point to things. So it allows you just to keep building on it and building on it and building on it, which is – it's a lot of fun. And you can actually – with Concept Board, you can both go on live, and you can have a like a moderator and that can fly the screen. So you can actually be looking at exactly the same thing live on a call together.
Nice. Yeah, that's fantastic. And so, look, you know – The main reason I wanted to put today into that question, you know, how do you run a successful business today, is because the majority of what we've talked about wasn't even around 5 years ago. So it's really changed the way you can run a design business.
And it's changing every day today. I mean, we're constantly stumbling across great things. Look, I think if you take each one of these and break them down into what they actually are, and you have those as your minimum requirements, you're going to do pretty well. Look, there's other, you know, risk adverse items that you might want to have. I don't know if risk adverse is the right word, but, you know, you're reducing the risk of failure by having the right hardware and software in place. So things like, you know, for your website, don't skimp on the hosting. Find a really good, really reliable, fast hosting company, right? Designers' websites tend to be image heavy, so there's load times. Maybe use a third party like Amazon S3 to host the images and have the website hosted separately. You can find solutions like
that. Yeah, we do that.
Yeah. You know, as far as your workflow, you know, I know you use cloud storage. I use cloud storage. We use Dropbox for all our work files.
Yeah, and yet go back 2 years and we used to use a an in-house server.
Well, array. Mate, I still do. Right. So
as backup or?
Both. Right. So okay. I did have it as just pure backup. Right. So what I do is I have each individual computer has its, because I'm running Mac. So we have Time Machine. So it's backing up because, you know, sometimes you forget and you save some stuff on your desktop. And that'll be that one time when the computer crashes that you'll lose that information. Right. So we back up each individual computer for anything that might be locally stored. And then our Dropbox in my office here is on a external drive, so it's not actually part of the main computer. And on top of that, I have FireWire and Thunderbolt RAID configured drives for archiving. So once the job is complete, it gets moved onto a RAID backup drive. So I've got backup on backup on backup. So even if my cloud connection disappears, right, I've still got multiple backups of what's in my Dropbox. So
yes, we do the same thing. Yeah. The reason we do that is because we got burnt big time a couple of years ago. Our tech guy had everything on a RAID, and we did have multiple external hard drives backing up to that RAID. And unfortunately, everything was set to happen automatically overnight. And you know, one night the RAID crashed or whatever, and it mimicked what was on that RAID into both of the externals, and everything was lost. So we had to send. It was so painful. Came into work Monday morning. It was like, what the, you know. So
there's nothing worse. I've lost data. There is nothing worse.
Yeah. Well, we lost about 2 years of the most recent data, you know, designs that we had. Now we got back around 85%, which was the most painful 2 weeks trying to restore it. And then over time, it slowly, you know, the pain eased. But most painful thing in business was, even though we had, you know, double backup, it just wasn't enough. So triple is the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. And don't buy those crappy USB drives that the local shops are selling for, you know, $20 or $50.
Yeah,
you know,
get
some
forever.
Good quality drives. Rotate the discs, so the actual internal drives, every couple of years, pull those out, put new ones in. You know, they don't last. These are not archival. They wear out, they burn out, you know, so cover yourself. The other little hack that is very helpful when you do have your Dropbox on an external drive is you can actually clone the drive. If you have a new computer, plug it in and just have Dropbox resync those items, so they don't actually have to download the whole, you know, 1.5 terabytes that's in the cloud. So it's much faster just to have it sync. So rather than taking 2 weeks to set up a new computer with a new Dropbox, you clone your current one and have it just sync to that, which is pretty cool.
Nice tip. Cool, man. And another tool that we use in our business is marketing. So, you know, for instance, one of the ways that we market is by doing this podcast, Al.
Yeah, yeah.
which, you know, every designer should be doing these days, or every business should be anyway, at least, because it helps, you know, get your name out there, positions you as the expert, and you can also syndicate this on your website and, you know, many, many ways.
Look, you know, I also think it keeps you at the top of your game. I mean, if you are talking about what's current, what's new, what's going on, you can't do that if you're not, you know, up there with the people in your industry and credible. You know, people will see through it pretty quickly. But, you know, have a blog, you know, attached to your own website. Don't just have a brochure site. Talk about what you do. Use social media. There's plenty of stuff.
Exactly. Out there,
yeah. But yeah, and you know what? We often get busy working in our business and we forget to do stuff like that. I think that's where it's important to have things like a business plan, systems, standard operating procedures, and checklists. You know, and not necessarily in that order. And a business plan doesn't have to be a big scary thing, but know where you want to go, you know what's going to be important in your business and build checklists off that. So things like, you know, I have a daily checklist where I have to do 5 or 6 things. No matter what, those things have to be done every single day. Otherwise, my business isn't going to move forward. We tried to write systems and operating procedures in our business and it was a complete failure. Right. So what we do now is we create checklists on the fly as we go of what we're doing. Then the checklist is built out into a system. And we very rarely look at the actual standard operating procedure. We work off the checklists every day. The standard operating procedures are there for new people who need to learn what we do. But once you've learned it, really, you just need to tick the 10 items that are required for that job off the list. And I mean, the best analogy I've got is if you look at a pilot. They fly those planes every day, year in, year out, and they will not take off without going through their checklists. They will not land without going through their checklists. They won't do anything without going through their checklists. So you'd be nuts not to model off something like that.
Yeah, cool, man. Good tips, Al.
Yeah, not bad. Man, that was a lot. I think we're going to have to drill down into some of this stuff. What do you think, Greg?
For sure, man. Listener, let us know what you want us to drill down into.
Yeah, otherwise we're just going to randomly pick stuff.
You got it. Which is not a bad thing. But look, you know, I think we should wrap it up pretty soon. We've been going for over a half an hour, which is like our longest episode yet.
Yeah, and you need your afternoon nap.
You got it. My design energy is over.
Yep, that's it. why don't we do our listener action for the week? Greg, what do you got?
Sure, man. So, okay, if you're a designer, a design business, study your market, think of what makes your business unique. You'll need a way to stand out in a crowded market. You know, there's so much competition these days. So try not to compete on price, especially if you're already established, and instead try to think of the benefits that you offer to the majority of design, that you offer that the majority of designers don't offer. For example, we design for some fairly heavy hitters in the online marketing world now, so that's part of our unique selling proposition, or USP as it's known. And so that proves that we know how to design, you know, with marketing funnels and conversions in mind for websites that get great results for our customers. So, yeah, just think about what's unique to your business and throw that in as your USP. So what about you, Al? Any pearls of wisdom to share, mate?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be what we just spoke about, which is checklists, right? Yep. If you want your business to grow, you need to repeatedly do things that improve your business, whether it be, you know, big things or small things. As long as you're making those incremental changes, you're going to improve. So what I would suggest you do if you want to run a successful design business is start making checklists. Pick something that you do repeatedly, right, and create a checklist from it. You can build a procedure out later on, but if you have a checklist that you tick off every time, you will find that the work gets a lot smoother, a lot easier. I mean, a good example would be if you design business cards, you know, what are the fundamental things that every business card must have that you must check? and maybe how you pre-flight the files, right? Or the 12 or 15 things that you do when you take the brief for the client. Make a checklist for it and work off the checklist. Don't just make it and have it sit in a drawer. Have it handy where you can use it every single day.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Alrighty. So, okay. And, you know, finally, I would just like to add that we're going to start interviewing some experts. So, you know, in various fields like online marketers, you know, before we were alluding to the fact that for marketing, there's many channels, and we're going to hopefully bring on board the master of what he calls own the race course, and get him to explain why it's good to have a blog on your own website, and then you syndicate it across all platforms, and it is the fastest way of you know, getting your name out there to grow your business.
Yeah, definitely. And he's got some awesome insights in how design has impacted his business over the years, because I know he used to do a lot of his own stuff in the early days.
He did, man, and now he's using Studio One.
Yeah, he was pretty bad in the early days, and now he's got Golden Greg working for him.
Look, he still has a design team as well, and they're awesome as well. But, you know, when it comes to specialised high-end website design, he'll use us for that.
Yeah.
As well as his own team.
Yeah, and we've got some killer guests as well for e-commerce and how design impacts e-commerce. Google advertising. We've got a few really, really great guests that we're going to be speaking to in the near future. So if there's any topics that you'd like, keep an eye on our Facebook as well. So what we might do is when we've got a guest lined up, we'll pop the opportunity up for you guys to ask some questions directly so that we can customize the episode to them. How does that sound, Greg? Do you like that idea?
Yeah, sounds fantastic, man. Well, thank you so much for today, Al. Thank you, listener.
Thank you, listener, for all your comments and reviews. In the next episode, we're going to add a segment where we will be reading some of the listener comments and questions that you've left, and see if we can't answer some of those questions that you've got there. We do appreciate all the five-star comments that have been put up. So to wrap up, farewell and thank you, listener, for joining us today. Please leave a review and go to therealmagic.com to sign up to know when we have a new episode. That's about it, Greg. You have a good afternoon, mate.
You too, mate. Thanks, Al. Thanks, listener. Take care.
Thanks for listening to The Real Magic Podcast. Hear more at therealmagic.com.